as individual. God is building a glorious church and not a glorious individual. And when we shift our minds and begin to key into the thing that God is doing in these times, I heard Bishop Butler say that God is concentrating now on the local church. He's building strong centers and not individuals. And Paul said it clearly all over the epistle. He says, we all come in the unity of the faith, till we all, not one person, all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And he says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. You know, so it is a glory, it's a joint thing. You begin to see yourself as an individual, a member of a body, going out rather than an individual as being part of a body. You see yourself a part of the body going out to express the content or the statutes or the characteristics of the body, Jesus Christ being the head of the church. So you begin to see yourself as part of anywhere you're going, you're carrying that aura and that sense that I belong to the church of the living God. I belong to the church of the living God. I am now a member, one in Mount Zion. So I'm carrying that aura with me everywhere I go. Christ is the head of this church, and I form part of that building which God is doing in this last time. So when I begin to think like that, I begin to say, I don't want to do anything that will compromise even that building, because I have a part as a person to play in the building of the church. So I don't want to compromise it in any way with anything I do. That's why Paul said, look, you guys, a little living will live in the whole lump. One person in that body can compromise it. So we have to understand that we begin to live and carry that sense of identity everywhere we go. We're not like the world. We belong to a stock. We come from a stock, and we're going out of that stock even to express the things that God has designed for us. And when we begin to think like that, we're going to think in a different light, and we're going to walk in a different light. Everything about it is for the edifying of the body. It's not about an individual, it's about the collective in the kingdom of God. Let me show you something from the scriptures. I want to show you something. So we're going to think like that. Everything you're doing, even in building up yourself, in praying in the Spirit, in meditating on God's Word, you are doing it to build up yourself so that you can contribute to someone else and to something in that body or the people around you. Let's go to the book of, I want to show you something. In, I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 20. First Samuel. So we're going to think like that, and we're going to know that everything we have, 1 Samuel 30, we're not living unto ourselves anymore, because we're living unto Him that died for us. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Once you made that commitment that Jesus Christ come into my heart, He's not just your Savior, but He's your Lord. And everything you have now comes and belongs to Him. That should be the mentality now. Everything you have now belongs to Him. I want to show you something that happened here. We talked about this story last week. I want to highlight a part of it before we go into some other things. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I think it's verse 18. If we can put it up, that would be good. When a man begins to think like that, then God begins to pour more into that person. More and more into that person. You see, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. Remember the story initially, when they came to take their wives, they took everything. They wept and wept and wept. There was no strength in them. Then they brought David and they singled him out. And so, yeah, the cause of all this, we're going to stone you. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. I will go back there. He says, and David, when they had gone, they had recovered everything, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoils, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered everything. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drove before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. These are the men that could not, they had no strength to fight. You can call them, these are the weak people. These are the people that had no substance to fight. They were so weak. They were weary. They were part of the land. Then answered all the, listen to what the scripture says, verse 22. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David. Look at how he qualified them. And said, why did he call them wicked men and men of Belial? Because they went not with us. They were saying it. We will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall partake alike. And so it was from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Doesn't that sound familiar? He says they had all things in common. Neither was there anyone in their midst that was lacking. He that had little had no lack. He that had much had nothing over. So you see, that is how the body of Christ functions. He said, those people who are weak, you that are strong, sustain the infirmities, restore the weak person. That is the essence of it all. That is the essence. The essence, the reason why we are building up ourselves is not that we will have so much strength. No, the essence is that we have enough to give to all those people who are not strong spiritually. He says they should share it alike. They didn't go to battle. They were weak. They were tired. They couldn't fight. Those guys said, no, you can't give them. All these things we struggled for, how can we come and give them on a platter of gold? They didn't come with us. They said, no, that's not how you do it. These are your brethren. That thought is a wicked thought. It's a what you should do. So you've gone to battle. The essence for which you went to fight, when you are fighting for your own, keep it in mind that your brother has a part there. When you are doing your own, keep it in mind that your brother has a part there. The essence of the whole gospel, let me tell you, even when I'm praying the Spirit, building up myself in the morning at 8 a.m., I'm praying the Spirit. I'm doing it so I will have enough strength in me to be able to build someone up. So it's that mindset that I'm connected to people and the way my state is will affect the general good. That's the mindset. That's why he said, look, even you that are not working, he said, walk with your hands so that you might have to give. So everything you are doing in your life is about giving. That's what the gospel is about. Every single thing, everything you are doing is about giving. When you take that away, you are lost. In the sense that you are going on another tangent. When you take that element and that predisposition away, people are saying, if you are praying for things for yourself alone, that you are off. And I see it. Because that's the foundation of the gospel. That's where everything starts. It says you've been rooted and grounded in love. That is where the foundation is. That is the mindset. That's why I say this is a wicked thought. This thing is a wicked thought. Everything about your life, everything you're doing is about the other person, your brother. That's what the body of Christ is about. You know, so you need to understand that. People that are weak, that can't carry out the functions, our role is not to criticize them. It's to help them. Is praying always with all prayer and supplication and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all the saints. You put on the whole armor and it ends with that. He said, when you put on the armor, you now say, praying always with all prayer and supplication and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. That's where it ended. He didn't say for yourself, he said, for all the saints. So that body mentality must be strongly ingrained in ourselves, so that when wealth begins to come, you know that it's not for oppression. You know that wealth, in fact, your motive has been so purified that you know that once the wealth begins to come, what I'm going to do is I want to expand. I want to do things so that people can come in. That is how the kingdom of God is. When the seed is planted, though it is the most insignificant seed, what the essence of it at the end of it all is that the birds of the air will come and lodge. That's what it's about. So let's understand that. Let's begin to reprogram our lives. That is the foundation. That's where it all starts from. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, see, look at you guys, those that hear my sayings and do them. That means practice those things I said in the preceding verses of loving your enemies, of doing good to them that hate you. Those things, as you practice them, this is a man that builds his house upon the rock. That's it. So let's understand that. And begin to live our lives like that. You know, the reason why you have so much, the reason why you have so much spiritual substance over there, the reason why God has put you in a place is so that you will be able to contribute, so that you'll be able to impart other people. So begin to think like that. It's not for yourself. If you begin to think like that, then things will begin to move in the right direction. Now let's go to the book of Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We said last week that we are created for God's pleasure. That means he created us for his own pleasure. And I'll read something here. What David said. Psalm 139. I think I have it here written. I'll find it in my Bible. Psalm 139, verse 16, it says. So that's the foundation. That is the bedrock, and that is where you start from. You know, that's where you start from. We talked about the book of remembrance. That was the second thing we talked about. And I'm sure we've been practicing that. The book of remembrance. And what God showed me was that in addition to that, we should not only give God thanks for the things, the miracles, as it were, in our lives, but we should go to our past. That's the way we surrender and give God thanks for the things that we seemingly thought were negative situations. You know, God was saying that that's how you surrender everything to him. When you begin to give them thanks for negative situations, things that have happened in your past that seem to be contrary, God takes it now and turns it and gives you beautiful ashes. In fact, that is what the fertilizer is. You know, God says manure is something that is offensive. So when you take those areas and begin to worship him, that is where the ground becomes very fruitful. So you understand that. So it's just the good things, the things, the hardship, the necessities, the things that you think about in the past. Oh my God, why did I do this? Or how this thing happened to me, it causes you to cringe. Those are the things you take to God in worship and begin to give him thanks for it and glory in it. And let the power of Christ come in and transform those areas of your life. That's very, very important. And the other thing God was talking about, the book of and worshiping and giving thanks, is the glory of God in the lives of other people. Begin to note that. The glory of God and the manifestation of God's power in the lives of other people around you. Like John the Baptist, I was reading it. It was so interesting. I was reading it. It said that John the Baptist was in prison when he heard what Jesus was doing in the lives of others. He heard. He knew that Jesus was doing miracles in the lives of others. But because the effect of that thing had not come to deliver him from the prison, he sent the disciples to Jesus. He said, do we wait for another? Are you the person? Understand this, very important. When you are in a situation, when you are in trials or you are in a place of stagnancy and you see people around you going ahead, don't get offended. Begin to worship God for his goodness in their lives. Very, very important. He said he was offended. He said, his eyes became clouded because he's the person that said, this is the Son of God. So begin to cultivate that. You might say, these guys are moving ahead. No, don't complain. Just stay there and begin to worship God for his goodness in their lives. Jesus sent them back and said, blind see, the deaf hear. What are you talking about? Give me thanks and you will see my power in your own life. Or what I'm doing in the lives of other people. And you see my power in your life. So that's one thing, something else I just thought I should drop. So Psalm 139, verse This is going back to the place of destiny, where your life is not just limited to a career, or the family you are in, or the fact that you are married. We're talking about a purpose for which you were created on the earth, that God sent you to the earth with an assignment. You know, and he put you through those channels to help you fulfill that assignment. I try to take people back to the place where they know on the inside of them that nothing can withstand and stop the manifestation of that assignment if they understand certain things. That's what we're talking about. I like the thing that Pastor Tony put on the website on Facebook the other day. She said, look, go back, go to sleep with this thought. She said something very strong. She said, how did she put it? She said, you might be thinking there that you have wasted so much time. You might be thinking there that what has happened in your past is so much that you cannot recover again. You might be thinking that everything is gone, that your destiny has been wasted. You might be thinking that it's too late to start now. You might be thinking that because of what I did, I cannot enter into God's fullness for my life. She said, you are too small to blow God's plan for you. You are too small. You don't have enough power to even blow the plans. Because the plans, when you see the mercy of God, the effect of mercy is so big that you cannot comprehend it. That's why he says, I have come to make that mercy available to every human being on the earth to save them to the utter. So what I'm saying to you now, as you are sitting here, there's nothing you have done in your past or nothing that's happened in your life in the past that is able, that has the power to thwart or stop God's plan for you as a person. Nothing. Nothing is strong enough. Nothing is that powerful. God's mercy supersedes all. But just knowing how to activate or to connect back with the mercy of God to take you to that place that God has designed for you as a person. That's what we're talking about here. So we're talking about destiny here. We're talking about the plan of God here for a man and in a man's life. So when you begin to see that, you have to, God was saying that people have to live a life of surrender. That means give me everything. Give me everything. Psalm 139. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me from one. Thou hast known me before any human being was there, before your father was there, before your husband was there, before your mother was there. He said, thou hast known my sitting down and my rising up. You understand? My thoughts are far off. The things that nobody knows that you think about, God knows it all. You compassed my path. Am I lying down? And I'm acquainted with all my ways. So he knows you more than anybody else. Even more than you know yourself. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. Even there shall my hand lead me, shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me up. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. When you were born, he was there. He was there from the beginning. He was there in heaven saying, my son, my daughter, go to the earth. I have a purpose for you. He put you there in mother's womb. He covered you there when you were still in the womb. He went through 9 months in the mother's womb. Said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was yet in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in the book all my members are written. It says, in the book all my members are written. Another translation said, you have written every single day of my life in the book before I was even born. That means he has written about you, every situation you are going through, he knows it. He wrote the book, he wrote it in the Bible. He saw your life from beginning to end. He knew all the mistakes you made. He knew everything, and he had made provision even for you in Christ Jesus even to correct those things and to ensure that you still get to your destiny. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. It's a thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, to give you an expected end. So don't let the devil teach you and lie to you that because you have done 1, 2, 3, you are not going to enter into that place that God has designed for you as a person. That's why Jesus came. He says, I come that I might save you to the uttermost. That means no matter what has happened in your past, my assignment here was to show that no matter what a man has done, as he comes to me in absolute surrender and repentance, I am able to turn his situation around and give him beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That is what I specialize in, and that is what the essence is. I'm not here for the people that are healthy. I'm not here for the people that think they are complete and perfect. I'm here for the people that actually need healing. That's what I'm here for. So let's understand that Jesus Christ has come to do that, and that is the essence of it all. And he says, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So it means that what he has done, he has written every day of your life in the book. He has written about your job, where you're working today, about your husband, about your family, about your parents, about everywhere you are. He has written about it. All the answers, everything is in the Bible. You'll be surprised, but it's the truth. And let me show you something. Everything is in the Bible. So he has written everything in the Bible, and he has put them in the Word of God. So what God is saying now is that when you come to a place, and when you have a challenge, and when you have things, men cannot solve your problem. To be honest with you, men do not have the capacity. They might intend to, but they do not have the capacity to. The only place that your answer and the true thing is to go to the source that created you and has written about you everything. So if I tell you, I've written about you for the next 20 years, that everything you're going to go through is in this book, and you're going through a challenge, well, the logical thing is to come and ask me, show me what I've written about this challenge right now. Because once I see it, I will know what is there, and I will know the outcome and the provision. But he says, no, they will not. They will run upon horses. They will go to Egypt for help. They will consult every single person but me that has the answer. That's how practical it is. No matter how trivial, no matter even how to do with your school, your children's school, he's written there. Your children's name is written there. Everything that concerns all my members, every single day of my life was written in the book while I was yet unborn. And what is it? Let's go to Revelation. Revelation. Revelation chapter. Chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. So everything is written in the book. And what God wants us to do is that when you come to a crossroad, when you have a project, when you have anything, any challenge, is to thank him for an opportunity for you to see what is written of you in the book and to experience it. No matter how tough it looks, no matter how challenging it looks on the outside, go to him and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity for me to actually see what is written of me in the book and to experience it in my life as a person. That's the attitude. And that is what the truth is. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. That is the book. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was worthy to open the book or to read there. Nobody can help you. No human being in flesh has the answer. Jesus Christ alone, he came solely to open the book and to give people access to the plan and the mind of God for them, so that they will come in contact with what is written of them in the volume of the book. The essence of Christ's coming is of men to fulfill their destiny, the reason why they were created. Let's understand this. It's not about car or house or anything, or about marriage. No, it's the fulfillment of the purpose of God. We're going back to the original intent. It says now, no man was found worthy, no man was found worthy to open the book or to read the book. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Jesus Christ prevailed to open the book. He said the veil was rent in twain, giving men access to the very holiest of all. The veil was rent. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld. Bishop Oedipus said, people are weeping because the book is still closed to them. That's what people are weeping. That's why there's so much, if I know the way out of something, that's it. And that's what Jesus came to do. They are beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne, the 420 elders and all that they sang. So what I want to tell you is that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, has opened the book, has given you access to the solution to everything you are going through. That's what he's come to do. So how does this happen? Let's go to Isaiah 29. Let's see something there. Isaiah 29. So when you're faced with a challenge, or when you have a project you want to do, or something you want to achieve, or something that comes to your heart, this thing is, what is your desire now today? What is your desire? What has come to your heart? What is your goal? What has, like Moses, what has come to your heart? What is that thing that you want to achieve? Or what is that thing that is constraining you, that is causing so much pain in your life? The problem is that, like Moses, we take the rod and go and try and fulfill it, rather than going to him that knows what is written about it in the book. What I'm saying is that your life must start with what is written in the book. And let's go here, Jeremiah 29. Isaiah 29, sorry. It says here, Jesus is Lord. From verse 11. Then the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is led. They brought it to the guy that is a professor. He came to a point where the knowledge and the education could not help him. They said, read it. He said, I cannot, for it is sealed. Education cannot answer it, though. We're talking about destiny here. He now says, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read it, I pray thee. He said, I am not learned. So wherefore saith the Lord, these people, this is the crucial thing, draw near to me with their mouth, and their lips they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. For their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Because the book has not been opened, they did not have a knowledge of God from the deepest parts of their heart. So it was what people told them that they were doing from the outside. They didn't have any conscience. Their fear towards God was what men told them. But God said, I want to change this order. I want to change this order once and for all. He says, now the new order is that this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This is what the essence of it is, that I will write my laws in their mind and in their inward part, so that when they honor me with their lips, their heart is in synchrony with what their mouth is saying, and I will be merciful to their transgressions, and their sins I remember no more. He says, now there will not need any man to teach his brother, saying, know the Lord. They shall all know me. So their fear of me will not be taught by the people of God. In their heart, they will come in contact with God, the living God, and from themselves, they will be able to function on the outside. That's the essence of new covenant. So it's not about going running to a man and saying, help me. No. The essence of the new covenant is that they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. It will start with a man teaching you, but there's a process you have to go through with the word of God for it to be relevant. This thing is about destiny. It's about you stand before God one day. Don't forget about what anybody is saying. You will stand, your wife will not stand with you. You will stand there and say, what is your contribution to the body? I made you the hand of the body. Did you do it? You say, Lord, my wife said that. My wife did that. It is about destiny. Understand that. Begin to understand that. It's a battle for destiny. Not for cars, not for houses. They will come and say, it's a battle for destiny. That's what we're talking about here. Father, we give you thanks. So what's written in the volume? So what is the prayer? What is there now? He said, when you come with a challenge, a crossroad, any project, say, Father, as Paul said in 1 Ephesians chapter 1, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of my heart that I might see what is written regarding this matter in the volume of the book. Father, I surrender my preconceived ideas because I'm a man, I don't know everything. I don't know how to go in or how to come out. See, this is the way. Go to God with complete surrender, ready to listen, because if you're not ready to listen to what he's saying and to obey, you won't see it. Surrendering, meaning, Lord, I do not know the way out. The problem is that man will continue to fight until he's brought to complete standstill, until they conquer him completely. But he says, oh Lord, okay, open my heart. Man, the tendency of man is that he doesn't want to desire the new things. He says the old is good, but until, like Jacob, when he's wrestled and they break him and he's completely subdued, then he says, okay, Lord, let your word now show me. But you don't have to wait till then. You can live this as a lifestyle. You have to wait till the things on the outside say, God speaks once, he speaks twice in a dream. Then when affliction now comes, he now cries out, and God will save him, but you don't have to wait till then. You can develop as a lifestyle. Say, Lord, with everything, honoring the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, acknowledging him in all your ways, giving respect to the creator that created you. Say, Lord, you created me. I don't understand this situation I'm in. I don't know how to achieve this goal I have set before me. Open my eyes that I might see what you have written in the book regarding this particular stage, you can start from today, of my life that I am in today. And he will show you. I've experienced it over and over. He will show you instantly. He doesn't tarry. He doesn't delay. He will show you instantly. So when the book is open to you, take the Bible and begin to read. Sometimes it might be something you have heard someone say. A preacher might have said something to you. Someone has said something to you, and it just resonates and comes back to you. God is speaking to you. It is what is written, not anything on the air. It is what is written in the book. He will show you and describe where you are and tell you, this is my daughter, my son, this is where I want you to go, and this is the outcome, this is the stage. So the word of God is what will locate you where you are. So if you feel you have gone, you're completely, I'm going to praise God and worship him and ask him, open my eyes in worship. He takes you and he opens that word to you. And once he does that, you stay in that confinement until another one is open to you. Until another one is open to you. That's how you move in God. That's how you stay from error, the word of God. So he opens your eyes and you see what is written. It's practical. I've said this story again, I'll repeat it again. When I made a mistake with the general medical counsel, even this job I got, this is the opening of the eyes. I want you to understand that you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what is written about you. So I will ask you a question. What is written about you in the stage you are in now in your life? What is the thing, the word of God that has come to you regarding where you are now as a person? What is that word that he has shown you? What is the word that has opened this season of your life to you? It is not, this is what Christianity is about. What is the word that is governing your activities on the earth? Because the word created you, so you cannot live outside it. A fish outside water will die. You cannot live like the world system, because the time will come where the system cannot sustain you. They will go into other things that they can do, but you cannot. They will go into other things. So when a man is pushed to the wall and is not living by the dictates and the seasons ushered in by the book, and it got so much pressure will come, don't blame people. You do the same. The only thing that can keep you and sustain you is the one. So you will make the same when they put pressure. If you're not being governed by the word, you will fall into the same trap. Forget it. You say that embezzling money. When you go there and you see the money, you say, is this how it is? Something begins to move. if the word of God is not rooted there. I'm just, this is what light is about as a Christian. Let me tell you what happened to me at work. How I got this job was the opening of the book. They called me and said, I want to do the interview. Everybody will say, the job is for you and all that and all that. I was happy, but I said, I can't move until I see the written word. It is my lifestyle. I can't, even if everybody is saying this is the way, until God shows me inside the Bible, not inside the Bible, can confirm it with men, but I must see the word. So I was a bit reluctant. I was doing the thing. Everybody was cheering me on. You are the candidate. You are the guy. But I said, Lord, I haven't seen it. I was cautious. I was a bit uncomfortable. I didn't go fully into it. Until one day I was lying in bed and just opened. I said, Lord, show me now. I'm not sure about this. And he opened it to me in Daniel. And I saw exactly what is written, the outcome, and my operation for the next 1 year in that place.